Great. Good morning, everybody. I already said morning. It's lovely to be here. I want to start off with a story that I once heard, and it actually reminded me of myself in many ways. It was this little girl that was invited by her friends to go to their friend's house, and they obviously played and just spent some time together. And when time for supper came, the mom actually cooked a nice meal, and one of the veggies on the table was broccoli. I don't know why you guys respond like you just did. But as a mom does, you want to give healthy food for her kids. She cooked broccoli. And so her friend's mom asked her, "So do you like broccoli?" And out of politeness, she said, yeah, I love it. I love broccoli. And they kept on with the conversation and, you know, how was your day? And just went by with their business, and the next moment, a bowl of broccoli came around to this girl, and she didn't take any of it. She just, you know, that moment, you just pass the bowl around because you actually don't want any of it. And the mom, just with such a surprise on her face, looked at her. I thought you loved broccoli. Why didn't you take any of it? And she said, "I love it, but I don't love it that much that I want to eat it." Very much sounds like me in many ways. But you know why I'm telling you this story? Because I think often we get to love people in the same way. We say we love people. We say we love church. We say with the right words. We know what the right words are, but when the rubber hits the road, will we actually love? Do we love it enough to actually do it, or do we just say it and pass the bowl around? I'm sure someone else will take it. You get what I'm saying? And I believe this morning that the Lord has given us a message that is essential to the very gospel of Jesus, and that is loving one another. Not just in theory, not just in words. And again, we need to use words as well, but not just that. But actually, it goes much deeper, you know. And I think, man, where should I start? This world, we're living in a crazy world, don't we? I mean, every now and then you see on the news what's happening, and I don't want to go into politics or culture trends at the moment, but it is a world that is very much worldly. You can't expect anything else from a sinful world. I always say, expect sinful things from a sinful world. And so, but as Christians, we are called to a higher standard, to a different standard, and that is the way of Jesus. And I'm hoping that this morning, as we look into the Bible, as we look into Scripture on what love looks like and how we should love one another, that that would encourage us to live according to God's way. And so, to summarize this world, let's quickly do that. What's the word? Can you help me out? What is the word that summarizes this world? Self? Anything else? Chaotic, yeah, sure. What else? Evil? It's all about me, isn't it? What? Do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever you want to do. What is truth anymore? My truth, your truth, you get where I'm going. And this whole woke agenda that's driving very much the culture of today's age, it is all about self. The evil trinity. Me, myself, and I. But actually, that's not how we should live. It's all about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. A life that is constantly screaming, self. It's not about others. It's all about you. Worldly. But then Jesus steps into our story, doesn't he? And he loves selflessly. He loves selflessly. Isn't that the very message of the gospel? Is he stepping into our mess? Because why? Because he loves us. Laying down his own life for me and you. And so just to clarify, or just to show you where this world is heading, in 2 Timothy, listen to this, chapter 3. You should also notice, Timothy, that in the last days, how many of you know that we are in the last days? I don't know where in exactly in the last days we are. I know many are kind of saying exactly what time and date and all of that. Be careful of those guys. But actually, we are living in the last days. The last days actually started when Jesus ascended, by the way, and we are still in the last days. No, I'm honest. That's a prophecy for you. We're in the last days. Make a YouTube video about that. Eh? In the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that. Such a sobering scripture. That this is what you can expect in the last days. People loving themselves. People loving their material possessions. People putting them at the center instead of Jesus. And instead of laying down their lives for their friends, they end up betraying their friends. Where Jesus came and he loved and he served. You see the difference between the world and the ways of Jesus. C.S. Lewis said this, "To be selfless does not mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less." Look, I'm Afrikaans, so I had to just read that a few times. Just what does that even mean? To be selfless does not mean to think less of yourself. You know, thinking of yourself having no value, you're worthless, and almost in this depressed state. It's not that. It's not, that's not humility. That's not selfless love. It's not thinking about yourself in that way. But it is actually, I'm always thinking about others instead. I'm not thinking about myself first. Yes, I do have needs. Yes, I do have things that I need to decide on, things that I want to have met. Yes, but it's not about me. It's about the person next to me. It's about the person on the other side of me. It's about the person in front of me. It's about the person behind me. I'm not thinking of myself first. Imagine someone that lived that way. And that is Jesus, actually. That said, "I'll step out of heaven into your world because I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking about you, about your future." Are we living the same way? And yes, you get what I'm saying. A selfless love is not just thinking of yourself as worthless, but it's actually about thinking of others all the time. In whatever you do, are you thinking of others? Philippians 2, verse 3 to 8. Just listen to this beautiful scripture of the way of Jesus. "Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others and what they are doing." Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had, which is this: though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave, of a servant, and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Isn't that the good news this morning for us? Jesus, the humble one. Jesus, the one that is always loving us. Always thinking about the interests of others. I always talk to people, and it's interesting. Maybe you have experienced this before. When you ask someone, "Hey, how's it going?" And I say, "No, it's good." And they just start talking about themselves and why it's going well. There's never a question, "And you? And you?" It's like Don't worry about me. You know what I mean? It's like, no. A love that is interested in others, not just waiting for a moment so that you can speak all the time, but actually, the only reason I want to know how it's going, because I'm really interested in how it's going. I'm not asking a rhetorical question, waiting for you to ask me back, and you let it rip. You get what I'm saying? We should be open and vulnerable and share how it's going, but the heart's motivation is always people, others, and not ourselves first. Amen? I actually want to just pause for a moment and encourage us that, you know, on Sunday mornings, we don't have a building of our own, as you have noticed. We sit in a school hall, which we are really grateful for. We are really privileged to be in a school hall like this. They are very good to us. But this is not our venue. We are renting it. We have communities that's on serving every Sunday morning. They come early. The sound guys, thank you for you guys. It's always here early and lock afterwards. But someone had to pack these chairs. Someone had to put out the sound equipment. Someone had to pack up afterwards. But we all do it because we love one another. And I want to remind us, for those who see this as their home and you are part of the serving in community, in the community structure, that we get to serve. And as we get to serve, it really is a way of loving those around you. The Bible speaks about, as we do the little things to one another, it's like we're doing it to God. If you give a glass of water to someone, it's like you give Jesus a cup of water. There's that scripture. You know, have you heard that scripture before? And whatever you do, it's like you're doing it to serve Jesus. And I want to remind us, even in the way we serve, are we serving with excellence? Are we coming with an expectation that, man, I get to serve this morning? It's not, oh, we're on duty again. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve in God's house. That's why we want to pack the chairs well. And we're not yet to be perfect, but we're doing it to Jesus. We're doing it unto Him. And as we do it unto Him, we get to love one another in the way we serve. So whenever your community is on serving again, man, be excited. Be excited because it is a privilege. I said to one of the deacons about a week ago, we were chatting about the serving, and I said to him, for me personally, and I'm hoping that this will become a value to all of us, as we meet as a church, we meet not for us. We meet to host the very presence of Jesus. And so imagine for a moment, Jesus is in our midst. Jesus is walking into this room, and this meeting is all about Him. How will we serve? How will we come to the front and worship or go to the back and worship? How will we serve in kids' church? How will we serve on a stage or in the band or whatever? How will we do what we do, knowing we are doing it for the audience of one? Will that change anything in our heart's motivation, our heart's attitude, in the way we come to love and get to serve? Will it change anything in us? Because I want to remind us that we are meeting to host the very presence of Jesus. That is our motivation this morning. And I'm hoping as we share His word that we'll see something of His goodness and His heart towards us, that we get to partake in His church. Going to the gathering, serving in the different teams, it's a privilege, isn't it? It's a privilege. Not a lot of amens on that point, but let's move on. We do it for Jesus, and that's how we love Him. I want to move on just with what I want to share, because the very call of loving one another is not a suggestion from Jesus. Have you guys heard about the greatest commandment? It's interesting that it says commandment and not suggestion, the greatest suggestion. No, it doesn't say that. It says the greatest commandment, which if Jesus commands something, I want to pin my ears to what He is about to say. Because if Jesus says it, it's important. If He says it twice, it's very important. And he actually says it a few times. Matthew 22, 37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." And so we are to love God with everything in us. Have you seen these weird Josh Jenners coming to the front in worship? Have you seen them sing a song over a mic and it feeds back on the sound, but it doesn't matter because we're all here just to give glory to God? Have you seen those moments? It's because we are here to love God with everything in us. We're not here to play church. We're not here to slip in on a Sunday, slip out on a Sunday. That was a good, I've got my food for the week. We are here to give our lives for the very King that gave His life first for us. But then He moves on and He says, if you do that properly, it will reflect in how you love one another. If you say you love me, but you hate your brother, the Bible says you're a liar. That's not my words. It's what Jesus said. And I'm thinking, sure, Lord, that's quite a high standard, because every now and then I meet people that's different to me and it rubs me off a little bit in the wrong way. And, you know, it's easy to love those that you like, those you bri with every weekend, those you get to do some stuff with. It's easy to love them, right? But those who are different to you, will you love them? In the same way, not just endure them, will you love them in the same way Jesus loves us? The same way Jesus loves us, by giving His life, so just laying down His life. So we ought to love one another in everything. The Bible actually says that if you love me, you will obey me. And so, actually what needs to happen is, I need to look at my life and look for the fruit that's in my life. Am I living a life of obedience? Because if I love Jesus like I say with my words, in the same way as the little girl said, I love broccoli. All right, here's the bowl of broccoli. Let's see if there's fruit to it, or let's see if there's a veggie to it. It's just a joke, by the way, for those who caught it. Let's see by your actions if you really love. Let's see if you're living a life of obedience. And as we live a life of obedience, we love God. And Jesus says, love one another. So actually, you obeying the Lord is a way of loving your neighbor. And so if you're living in disobedience, you're actually not loving your neighbor. It's not just you and the Lord. Yes, it impacts your relationship with the Lord, yes. But it has a direct impact in your relationship with one another. Because we're one body. We're one body. Different members. I've bumped my toe and the whole body feels it. It's not just, oh, it's a shame, oh, little toe, you were disobedient, good luck. It impacts the whole body. And that's why, as elders, we met this last week, and man, there's such a call for us to live pure lives, to live holy lives, because it impacts all of us. We're one body, and we want to reflect Him well. Oh man, so we need to love one another. Church is hard, eh? Church is hard. Who of you thought church is going to be, come for a fun Sunday? And slip away and hopefully we'll see you next week. No, man. We never build that way. That's not how we build church. Church is, we come and we give ourselves so that He can get the glory. And church means we get to love one another. It's easy, if you just slip in and slip out. You don't have to really love people. Hey? Let's be honest. You interact, hey, how's it? Hello, how are you? How, yeah, lekker, hey, and cheers. Bye. And there's no reality to authentic relationships. Jesus paid the price on the cross so that we can have an authentic relationship with the Father. He made a way for us, not just to come and attend a Sunday service, but He actually made a way for us that we can be in unity with one another in the same way as Jesus is united with the Father. And so, there's so much more to church than just, you know, do you love church? Yeah, I do. All right? Well, let's live it. Let's live it. Let's eat it. Let's eat this broccoli. Even if it doesn't taste nice, it's good for me. My wife is like, oh, already thinking of recipes for broccoli this week. John 13, 34. I'm going to go on for too long. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. It's like Jesus repeating Himself. You know, when my wife tells me or asks me something twice, it's important, or I didn't listen. So I don't know what exactly happened, yeah, but Jesus says a couple of things a couple of times. And He says, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. You love one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And Skalk alluded to it earlier in the service that we are to be known of people of love. By the way we love one another, it should be evidence to the world, hey, we are different to this world. We're not worldly. We are disciples of the one who is love, Jesus. And hopefully if you are new and you're visiting us or you've been here a few times recently, that you, I hope that you are sensing a love for Jesus, yes, but also for one another in our midst. If not, we are missing it, and I'm sorry about that. But our aim, our heart, is to love Jesus with all of us, all of ourselves, but then to love one another. And this is uncomfortable. It really is. But I want to remind us, but we build on relationships. We build with community. Community that's happening throughout the week. And yes, we put Wednesday nights aside. Otherwise, life gets busy and we tend to forget a time to live out community. So we put Wednesdays out for it. But community is much more than a Wednesday night. That's like slipping into a Sunday and slipping out. You can do that. But community is my whole week, my whole life is centered around Jesus and His body. That's what I think about. That's what I dream about. That's what my life is all about, is the things of the kingdom. And so we build on community. We build on relationships. You know, that's why Ian and Lauren, they're opening up their home. And many of you are doing that. You're opening up your home. You're opening up your lives to share it with others and to invite other people in. Community. You share life. It's a saying that we often use is we do life together. Are you doing life together? And I actually want to ask Ivan, where are you? Maybe you can come and just share. You can come to the front. I asked Ivan just to share briefly his experience about community. Ivan and Marijke joined the church recently. Marijke actually got baptized end of last year. And they've slotted in beautifully. They've given themselves. And I asked Ivan just in conversation over a few coffees, you know, what's the Lord doing in your life? And what comes out is, man, I love community. I love church. And I just want him to actually testify this morning about it. And then I'll continue from there.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks, Aya, for this opportunity. So for us, community is much more than a Wednesday evening and that we want to tick off. It's for us, it's a place where we've chosen to be, to open up and to build something deeper, a family. And Romans 12 says it quite well. It reminds us that we are one body with many parts and that we belong together. And it's not just on Sundays, on Wednesdays, but every single day. That's what community has become for us, an everyday family. My wife and I, we're raising two beautiful daughters, and our biggest prayer is that they will grow up to be godly women. And women who know what's right, women know what's wrong, and know who they are in Christ. And to be honest, we can't do it alone. We need our church family. They need to see faith lived out, not just from us, but from people around them. People who love God, who show grace, and who are real about life. For us, church can't just be Sundays and Wednesdays. Truth growth happens when we step out of our comfort zone. And sometimes, comfort is the very first thing that keeps us away from the freedom that God has for us. Yes, community group challenges us, it stretches us, but it gives us a safe place to pray together, cry together, celebrate together, and walk through life together. And I think for me, that's where real transformation happens. So this morning, my prayer is for all of us, especially those who find it difficult to join a community group for whatever reason. I pray that the Lord will work in our hearts, remove obstacles, and create a safe space, and that our community groups will be filled, not just with people, but with love, honesty, and genuine family. Because when we truly live a body of Christ, as Romans 12 calls us to, church will stop being a place we go and becomes a family we belong to.
Just hearing this morning, and it's something that we've heard often, almost as if it's like a repeat, and you're like, I know this song, I know this scripture. But I have to like echo what Ivan just said. I said, I think 2 weeks ago to Amri, it's such a privilege to have church family around you. And why I shared that with her was, we've received so many prayers and so many messages of encouragement going through a journey, let's call it a challenge. And I'm not, because I'm an elder, going to think that there will never come challenges. It's not if, it's when. But when this when happens, do you have family around you? And I want to say this morning, it is so encouraging. And thank you for everyone reaching out to us, praying for us, and standing in faith with us for what we are going through. So thank you for this message. It's awesome, man. Thank you.
I'm sure there are so many testimonies of just moments of loving one another. And we actually had it earlier in the service as well. We're not playing church. This is the very thing Christ died for. And this is the very thing he is returning for. It's his church. His bride. I want to end with the scripture. Romans 12, and even started with Romans 12 as well. I want to read from verse 9. Listen to how clearly it says how we should live. Don't just pretend that you love others. Did you even know that that's actually in the Bible? Don't pretend that you love others. Don't just say you love broccoli. Digging my own hole here. Don't just pretend that you love others. But then he continues, really love them. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Oh, man. How often do I get this wrong? How often do I get this wrong? Well, I just put myself in the middle. Well, no. Jesus has to be on the throne of your heart. And from that flows his people, others, those around you. So even in my prayer life, I don't get it right always, but someone once helped me with something, and then I'll pray for us quickly. Someone once helped me. When you go into a quiet time or a devotional time, something that I want to apply to my life often is three things. Firstly, I go into my quiet time thanking him, because I want to start with him. I honor him. I thank him. I glorify his name. I pray and I worship. I'll make it all about him. And then secondly, it's not you, it's others. Then I'll start to, Lord, just put someone on my heart. Who can I pray for? And I know this is the difficult one because you want to just go for it for your own prayer list, your own to-do list, or your own needs. You want to bring it to God. But I want to encourage you, what if you, before you do that, start to pray for others first? And then you flow into your needs and wants and your heart that you want to just bring before the Lord. But often I don't even get there. And then I realize, man, that was a beautiful time with the Lord. Because I made it all about Him. And I made it all about others. And then in that place of pouring myself out for Him and others, He meets my needs. He listened to my unspoken prayers. He listened to the very things that are bothering me, the very things that I'm thinking about that I haven't even just said out loud. The Lord knows your heart, but He wants your heart to be on Him. We are His servants. He's not our servants. We are His. Our lives belong to Him.